with us, please, for our second reading to 1 Kings chapter 20. Well, it's a little bit of a long chapter, so I'll ask you to buckle up and hold on as we read. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine, and all that I have. And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. And it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, Set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. And he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he said, Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city and the army which followed them, and they slew every one his man. And the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on an horse with the horsemen. And the children of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go, strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are the gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put the captains in their rooms. And number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days, and so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. And his servants said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life. So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, Thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, Is he yet alive? He is my brother. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And they said, Thy brother Ben-Hadad. Then he said, Go ye, bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and he caused him to come up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, The cities which my father took from thy father, I will restore, and thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor, by the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then said he unto him, Because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Then he found another man and said, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way and disguised himself with ashes on his face. And the king, as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, So shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have then in verses 1 through 11 the original siege. A siege, children, is when an army surrounds a city and prevents anything from going in and out. It's a rather efficient way of warring because you don't have to do battle. You just wait till everybody starves inside the city. And so they are encamped around Samaria, which is the capital of the northern kingdom, in the Mount Shemer. And so here they are then arrayed. And Ben-Hadad is saying, you know, he becomes a little bit impatient, I think. He says, we've been here long enough. Let's send an emissary in and see if we can shorten up what we're doing here. And so the emissary goes in and says to Ahab, and it's an amazing dialogue back and forth. The first is, the first emissaries go in and they say, okay, here's what Ben-Hadad says. Oh, by the way, anybody know what Ben-Hadad means? King of Syria. Hadad is a Syrian word meaning the sun. So he's a son of the Son, and they worship the Son as God. So Ben-Hadad means he's the son of an idol, in other words. Okay? It's going to be important for the end of the chapter. So Ben-Hadad sends the emissary in, and he says to them, to Ahab and his court, I'll tell you what. You give me all your gold and all your silver, your wives and your children, and we'll be done. And Ahab says, let me think about that. Okay. But just like that, he's ready to give up his gold and silver, his wives and children. Just like that. We see what kind of man Ahab really is. So they go out and they say to Ben-Hadad, he's agreed to terms. And Ben-Hadad, I think in standard negotiator fashion, says, that was too easy. I haven't asked deeply enough yet. So, I'll tell you what, go back in and say, okay, that's a good first installment. Now, what I want is everything you think is precious. All the stuff that you like, we're going to take that too. And when Ahab hears that, he says, hold on a minute. And he calls his court together, his elders, and he says to them, this guy's seeking mischief. I told him I'd give him my gold and my silver, my wives and my children, and now he's asking for all this other stuff. It's sure that he's seeking mischief against me. And so they say to him, you don't have to give that up. And so Ahab says, you can have my gold and my silver, my wives, my children, but the stuff I like you can't have. Think of that for a minute. That's the kind of guy Ahab is. Okay, so they go back and they say to Ben-Hadad, he said no. The first installment was okay, still okay. The second installment, you pushed him too far. He said no, they're not going to do that. And so then there's this blustering, this ancient Near Eastern blustering that goes back and forth. And it's really interesting to hear because Ben-Hadad sends an emissary in and he says, here's what you tell Ahab. You tell him that God do the same to me and more so if by the end of today, the end of the day, there's not enough handfuls of the dust of Samaria left for each of my men to take a handful of. And Ahab says, you kind of wonder where Ahab's speaking from right now because they're surrounded and he's already given up, you know, all of this stuff. Ahab says, well, you know, let not him that puts on his harness talk as if he's taken it off. In other words, I'm not sure you're quite ready to do battle against us. We might be a more formidable enemy than you think. And so Ben-Hadad, notice what he's got working outside of the gates of Samaria. He's got a pavilion set up, and he's sitting in the shade drinking a mint julep, or whatever they were drinking back then. He's really comfortable. And I think Ahab knows that Ben-Hadad is somewhat indulgent and overexpectant and overconfident. And so then the Lord shows mercy to Ahab, and he sends a prophet to him. And he says, don't worry, you're going to send them away. You're going to do battle with them, and you're going to send them away. And Ahab says, how's that going to happen? And he says, it's going to be an unlikely source. Really? I mean, I'm drawing it out here because the unlikely source is not mentioned, except that it says, by the 232 young men. You wouldn't expect the young men to go out and lead the army. It's going to be an unlikely source. 232 young men are going to go out. And then he says, and who's going to lead them? Even more unlikely, you will. Right? I mean, who is Ahab? Who do we know Ahab to be at this point in the history from chapters 18 and 19? We know him to be an idol worshiper, a Baal worshiper, who has brought Jezebel into his house, and she has brought the worship of her father, whose name was Ethbaal, into Samaria, and they have turned away from the perverse religion of Jeroboam and begun to set up Baal worship in the northern kingdom. I mean, how unlikely that the Lord would say, you're going to lead them. If I was Ahab and the Lord said to me, you're going to lead the army, I'd think, uh-oh, I know what that means. But the Lord is faithful, and so he makes a commitment to Ahab that they're going to go forth and they're going to conquer. Ahab's going to lead the 232 young men, and then I hope you noticed that the 232 young men brought with them 7,000. When was the last time we heard of 7,000? In the prior chapter. the 7,000 that had not yet bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed him. And so 7,000 faithful Israelites go forth with the 232 young men, and they go out to Ben-Hadad. Notice Ben-Hadad, half-drunk and overconfident, says, "Go up to them and see what they want. Bring them to me alive, whether they're out for war or out for peace. Bring them to me alive." In other words, don't go after them with a fierce countenance. Go after them with a conciliatory countenance to bring them to me alive. And that was all the young men needed. And so they went and they conquered and they put the Syrians to flight that day. The Lord wrought a great victory. And for his part, Ben-Hadad, who I'm sure, being in his pavilion and stretched out on his chaise, was very uncomfortable when he had to hop on a horse and ride home. But that's what he did. I don't think Ben-Hadad was particularly used to riding on horses, my opinion. All right, so scene one, over and done. Scene two, the Lord says through the prophet Ahab, "Now be ready, because he'll be back. You told him you were going to give him some stuff. He's got stuff on the mind. He's going to be back." And so, a little bit later, here they come back again, and his advisors, Ben-Hadad's advisors, tell him, "Here's what you do. You set up the same kind of army like before. We know why we lost. It's a strategy problem. Their God is the God of the hills." If you know Samaria and its environs, you know that it's a very hilly, up and down country with valleys, steep climbs, and so on. Well, their God is the God of the hills. And that may have been an unbelieving way of saying they're better at rough terrain than we are. I don't know. I think there was some superstition in it as well. And so let's approach them from the other side, from Aphek instead, in the plain. And our God, he's the God of the plain. I mean, where does the sun shine? There's no shade on the plain. Our God is everywhere there. There's no shade for them to hide on, hide in. Our God, Hadad, the sun god, he shines all over the plain. Our God's the God of the plain. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of them in the plain. Ben-Hadad says, "Good plan." So they set themselves in array in Aphek, and I hope you noticed the numbers. The army of Israel was set up as two little flocks, and the Syrians covered the countryside. They just covered it. And so they looked one another in the eye for 7 days, and at the end of 7 days, the battle was joined. And when the battle was joined, the Israelites, once again under the protection of the Lord their God, rose up faithfully, and they set the Syrians to flight again and killed 100,000 of them the first day. And they flew into the city, Aphek, to hide there, and 27,000 of them died when a wall fell on them, probably because they were huddling too close to it. And it fell over on them and killed them. And for Ben-Hadad's part himself, he hid himself in an inner chamber. Now we have perhaps the only lightsome thing in this chapter. We have heard that the kings of Israel are merciful. You know what? No matter who you are, that's a good reputation to have. And so, let us go. Let us put sackcloth on our backs and ropes on our heads. In other words, let us go with a leash on. That's what they mean by that. We'll put the noose around our own necks and have the ropes tailing off so they can hold on to us. We'll show how humble we are. And so they go. And they meet up and they make a deal. But did you notice what Ahab says? And this is probably the worst thing that we hear come forth from Ahab's mouth in this chapter. "Oh, Ben-Hadad? He's my brother. The son of the sun? The son of the sun god? Oh yeah, he's my brother." No, not so. Not so at all. In fact, the Lord had utterly appointed him for destruction. And so they make a deal. Ben-Hadad comes up into Ahab's chariot and he says, "Those cities that my father took from you, I'll give them back. And I'll give you some cities in Syria. And also, you know those streets that have my father's name on them in Samaria? I'll tell you what, I'll give you a few streets in Damascus, in my capital, and you can have your name there." And Ahab says, "That's a good deal." Again, a very terrible decision on the part of Ahab. And so he lets him go with that covenant. Then we have another prophetic device at the end of the chapter. And so there's a man of God there, one of the prophets, and he says to his fellow, "Strike me." And the guy says, "No." Well, it's obvious that he's speaking by way of inspiration. It was a command from the Lord to strike him. And the man said no. And the prophet says to him, because thou hast disobeyed the voice of the Lord, when you go out, a lion will kill you. And that's exactly what happened. He says to a second man, strike me. Well, second time around better than the first. So he strikes him. And so he goes and he's wounded. And he puts ashes on his face and disguises himself so that he would not be known initially by Ahab as one of the prophets. And so Ahab passes by. And Ahab notices him, and the man cries out as if he's crying out to the king. O king, help me. I made a deal. I said I would watch this guy, and he got away from me. I made a deal that my life would go for his, or I would give a tribute of silver if he ever got away. And Ahab says, well, why are you crying to me? You made the deal. And then the man takes his hood back, reveals his prophetic outfit, and takes the ashes off his face. And Ahab understands that he's the prophet of the Lord. And he says to him, exactly, why'd you let Ben-Hadad go, who was appointed to utter destruction? That was your job. Your job was to take care of God's enemies, and you failed. You failed at that job. So then, your life will go for his life, and your people's lives as well. And then we learn something about Ahab that we will see also in the next chapter. We see something about Ahab that Ahab had a heart. It was not a regenerated heart. But he went some distance. Whenever he heard a hard word from one of the prophets of the true God, he mourned. And so Ahab went to his house heavy. Not because he had grieved God through his disobedience, but because he did believe that God would bring him into judgment for his disobedience. See, we can believe that and still walk in our sins. We can still, as Jesus said to the Pharisees, you will die in your sins. We can still be the slave of sin and regret the consequences that are coming upon us. The mark of the Christian, like we heard earlier today, is to grieve because we have grieved our Father. All right, well, thus ends the reading of 1 Kings chapter 20.